Welcome to the Gravity Podcast, where we host conversations on developing a Christian spirituality rooted in love that fosters resilient faith in everyday life.
Logistically speaking, I'm not sure how that would work, Ben, but it's a great idea. Colonizing Mars. Hey, welcome to the Gravity Commons Podcast. I think that I don't tell you two enough how much I appreciate you. And by you, I mean Ben Sternke and Christy Pinley. Good day.
Hey, thank you. Hey, you know, thanks, I never know what you're going to say when you start this thing out.
I don't either.
It's always like an adventure. It's an adventure.
Honestly, I have 5 seconds, the countdown, and I come up with something. And it's probably noticeable to our listener. That probably doesn't surprise anybody. But that's how it goes.
I sometimes feel insecure about this, but then most of the time I don't. I do feel like we don't know how to start podcasts.
I do. Yeah, I do.
Here it is. I don't feel like you know either.
Here we go.
None of us know. We don't. We're not
good
at it.
He doesn't know how to end them either, Ben.
You know what I've started to do?
Don't know how to start them. The middle, though, the middle part, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, we're pretty good at the middle. Yeah. I would say this. I think there's conventions that I enjoy breaking in our culture. Like, for instance, the email sign-off. Sincerely, best, grace and peace, peace, God bless.
What do you
be
say?
Be blessed. These words, while expected, are superfluous.
Matt. For real?
Well, I have done that a few times.
I remember the first time I got that. Actually was confused for a minute because I was like, is he angry about something? Because like I felt like your whole email was like, I was like, are you referring to the whole email that you just replied? And you were like, I'm angry that I had to write this email.
Well, and yes, that's like, the subtext for every email I write. I don't appreciate emails. Because my brain works faster than my fingers and I got to slow my brain down to catch up with my fingers, but then I lose what my brain was thinking. And so then I feel like it's a complicated relationship between my brain and my fingers.
So it was both. You were both making a joke about the sign off.
Well, the sign off though is the thing that I was trying to expose as being unnecessary. Really. Sometimes I see a sign off, sometimes I see somebody who says regards and I'm like, they regarded me, you know,
regards.
I feel regarded.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think I might disagree about the sign off. I think, and this is maybe just me becoming an older man, but I used to not like small talk. Now I'm appreciative of small talk. I don't know. I think, and the email sign off or the letter sign off feels to me like this basic courtesy that actually does feel very, I enjoy reading what people write. And I feel like the person who does not sign off, I just feel like there's a bluntness to it. And I get it. It's just email, but I don't know. I appreciate the sign off.
I tend to be a pretty direct person. And I worked for a bishop who I love, and he taught me the importance of the beginning and the end of an email and like how you're supposed to kind of just like, hey, I hope you're doing well, like what's going on with your family, and like how that makes somebody feel loved. And then the ending also makes somebody feel loved. And it was like a thing for him. Like he actually really believed it, but then also really encouraged me to incorporate that. And I'm not great at that.
You know, I think this, I don't know, this is interesting to me because I do think it reveals some of the catching up that like our social conventions, like technology is moving faster than social conventions can catch up with it. And so I think there's a variety of ways that people use email. Like I've emailed with people who are, they don't bother, it's like a text message almost where they're just like, you know, send this one sentence, or this one question. And then they receive an answer back, and that's no problem. Hmm. But then there's other people that they treat it more like a letter that you would write, where there's these conventions that if you don't use them, you appear rude. But I think it depends on how you think about email, how you think about this mode of communication. And it's still just super new.
Well, and he was really, you know, had big opinions about it. I think because I was also communicating with people in different countries. Like, it's one thing to talk about here.
The variety,
but then yeah.
The variety of styles of communication is even greater.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I know how I'm signing off from now on with emails to you, Ben. Also, sometimes instead of like using words that point out how you know, inconsequential those words are, sometimes I'll just continue the body of my note, like with another sentence, and then put a comma, and then put my name as another way to be like, you know. But this is riveting podcasting. Everybody who hasn't turned off the podcast yet, you deserve a merit badge, gold star.
Thanks for staying with us.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that this conversation reveals is that often we don't have a plan for our life. And we're going to talk about what, Christy, you call a wheel of life.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't take credit for that. My friend Melissa, if she ever writes a book, I think it will be called like The Wheel of Life rather than The Rule of Life. But I like that so much better because The Rule of Life just sounds so strict and rigid. Mm. And The Wheel of Life is like moving forward. And the Enneagram 3 in me like loves that.
Yeah.
So I like to call it The Wheel of Life.
So what we're talking about today is a rule of life. And I do think that that has a connotation of being arduous or needing like Herculean discipline, something that sounds good on paper, but I'm unable to actually live it. It's not, you know, it's not flexible enough for, you know, when your 16-year-old doesn't come home on time and you can't go to bed at your bedtime and then you have to sit up later talking to your 16-year-old about why they need to be home on time. And then
personal?
And you can't get up when your alarm goes off.
Just an example, I'm sure.
Just a hypothetical.
I mean, I remember those days. I remember.
All right, so let's start then. What is Chrissy? What is a wheel of life, and where a rule of life, and where did that come from?
Yeah, so the rule actually comes from the Latin word regula. If you want to like get a little technical, which basically means like a straight piece of wood or a ruler, a pattern, a model, an example. And so a rule of life is just kind of like this way that people believed would kind of be like the best way to live in the way that you're wired. And it really actually comes from Saint Benedict way back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a bunch of monks and he had this rule of life, this way that they lived life together and in community and with God and also with serving. And so it really came from him. Sometimes people talk about it being like up, in, and out, those three kind of categories. But I think it's expounded. There's books you can read about it, tons of books that you can read about it. But yeah, that's a little bit where it came from.
Yeah. Didn't Benedict found like some sort of order or association, like the Elk Lodge? Didn't he do the Elk Lodge?
I don't think that was the one he did. No.
No,
but that
I think it was like called the Order of Saint Benedict.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it would be a good
that makes more sense,
Ben.
Yeah.
Later.
Okay, cool. All right. So this is something that goes back centuries and something that Christians have done. You know, a lot of the desert fathers and mothers were coming, of whom Benedict sort of functions in that stream. They were seeking to order their lives in contrast to the prevailing order of the world. And they knew that they needed to extricate themselves from what today we would call like systems, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or habits. So I think that gives a little bit of a window or insight into how this is just how this would be different than like a New Year's resolution, you know?
Right.
Like if I were to resolve in the new year to give, you know, at least 20 seconds of forethought to how I'm going to begin a podcast, That would be different than a rule of life, yeah?
Right. Well, and the rule of life is that we all have one, regardless if we have it written down or not. We have a way and a pattern of which we do life. Mm. And so the encouragement is to pay attention to that, to examine that, to look at that, and then to see if there's anything that needs to be shifted in that. And so you have a rule of life, Matt. You have a rule of life, Ben. I have one. And so it's not like we don't live a certain way. It's just kind of this opportunity that's before us to kind of look at it. And so, yeah, a lot of people use New Year's as like this time of, I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to spend more time with this person and I'm going to, whatever the commitments are. But ultimately, the rule of life is like a living document that you can look at multiple times a year and change it based on whatever the season, whatever the rhythm that needs a little adjusting.
Yeah. So what would I, if I was going to, you've shocked me, Christy, in telling me that I already have a rule of life. Not really. I'm just saying, like, maybe if that's a new thought for some of our listeners, what kinds of things are you talking about? Like, how would I discern what my rule of life is right now? Like, yeah, what kinds of things, you know, should I, like, what do you mean?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I would say, first of all, rule of life is really based on what are the things you value. Because you spend your time, your money, your relationships on what you actually prioritize and what matters to you. And so figuring out what are my top values and how are they kind of coming into fruition into my life in all these different ways, how I spend my time or whatever. Is probably the beginning part. And we have that. We have that with food. We have that with money. We have that with our time. We have that in relationships. And so if you think right now, Ben, like, oh, what are some rhythms that you have in your life? And I don't mean like.
Yeah. I mean, I try to get to the gym two or three times a week.
Yeah.
I, you know, play basketball. So those are some rhythms, like regular, you know, appointments in my calendar. Yeah.
And dinner. Why do you do those things?
I don't know. No, I do know. You know, like I work out because, like it helps me feel better. You know, I'm trying to stay in decent shape because I'm getting older and, it helps me kind of do my life better.
Sure.
And I mean, for the basketball thing, I do that because I just enjoy it. I really enjoy.
Yeah. Hooper got a hoop.
Yeah. So even though the side benefit is I do get some cardio, get some exercise in. But it's like, it's so much more enjoyable to me than running on a treadmill.
Oh yeah.
Or even like running outside. I hate running, but basketball, I could play that all day.
Right.
So I enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. Fun.
Brings me joy.
And health, you know, those are two values that would kind of come out in that. But we also value, you know, people. And so maybe you can think, I don't know, Matt, are there, you don't have to tell us who they are, but are there people that you spend time with every day, every week, every month, maybe once a year, and prioritizing those relationships and saying, hey, these really matter to me. And so in the next year, in my rule of life, I want to be intentional with, I'm going to meet with so-and-so every Thursday, not as like a legalistic thing, but as like a, oh, this person matters, you know, and I want to prioritize them. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I think that's been a piece of advice that I got from someone, I can't remember how long ago it was. I think it's in the last 10 years that I've come to see the importance of more and more, and that is prioritize people for your own self-care and your own flourishing that give you life, that fill you up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's particularly important for those of us who are in relationships where we are giving in a power differential that costs us.
Yeah.
You know? Like I think as a pastor and as a parent, I have a lot of relationships that have complicated dynamics where You know, there's certain times when I can tell a congregant, hey, I've had a rough week, and share a bit about that. But there's a lot of context where I shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And I can't do that. And the same thing with my kids, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's important for me to prioritize people that aren't, that I'm not responsible for, who aren't looking to get something from me or needing something from me, that it's my responsibility to provide.
Yeah.
That there's a more of a mutuality or reciprocity there. Or even the other way, you know, like a therapist where, you know, I'm paying you to take care of me, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. so do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
Respero. Hey, we've talked about them before. They're an organization that offers faith-based counselor training. They believe that the aim of counseling is real transformation, not just symptom management or removal. Their counselor training courses equip you to help people to be great lovers of others, to understand why they do what they do, to be emotionally healthy, and to live out their identity as someone deeply loved and delighted in by God. All their training is rooted in the belief that Jesus is a source of life and that we can be a part of his work of healing and restoration.
And for pastors and ministry leaders, their training is a proven way to identify the people in your church who might be gifted for lay counseling. And it can be a powerful way to help make your church into a genuine healing community. They provide all the training and the supervision that allows your leaders to do great work and to free up pastoral staff from needing to do all the pastoral counseling in your church. If you are interested, you can go to respero.org, that's R-E-S-P-E-R-O.org, and click on the counselor training tab.
The Gravity Podcast is sponsored by the Gravity Formation Course, a 12-month cohort-based training in practical spiritual formation, where you'll learn to notice how God is already at work in your life so you can participate more fully in the life God shares with us. It's a discipleship process that goes beyond just gaining more knowledge and trying new practices. In the Gravity Formation Course, we go below the surface of our lives so that we can notice and name our deepest desires in God's presence, and to discern how God is at work in those desires to lead us towards holistic flourishing, more transformation, more life, more joy, more love. We've trained hundreds of people all over the world in this formation framework, and it has helped many people to have a sense of God at work in their lives, to learn how to be more at home in God's love. If you'd like to learn more, go to gravitycommons.com/formation.
Let's get back to the show.
In my wheel of life, I call this my target people, which I guess, listener, if you're hearing that, like, it sounds a little, I don't know.
School-y. You're very intentional and strategic, though, Christy.
Yeah, but I think it sounds heartless, I think, in some ways when I talk about this. But I have target people, and I really do think through who are the people that I want to spend, like, every day. The only people on that list are my kids and my husband, right? But then weekly, I have two friends that I spend an hour with every week. I go for a walk with one on Monday, and I have a phone call with the other on Thursday, and it's just in my schedule. And it's because those are life-giving people to me, right? And I need that if I'm going to be able to pour out, because also in my target people are people I'm pouring out to. Who are the people I'm going to be really intentional with in the next season? And I've got, you know, five 20s, I guess they're in their 20s, girls that I am intentional with, that I go for walks with, that I'm, if you will, discipling. I don't know if that's the right word, but and even figuring out who am I saying yes to, because that also means I need to say no to some other people and opportunities and plans that I get invited to, because these are the people that are important to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be one you know, area that you could look at. But there's lots of different areas. You could look at, you know, how you manage your time, how you keep your house. Like, what do you want your home? And I don't mean like, is your bathroom clean? I mean, do you want to use your house as a way of like inviting people in? Or is that like, hey, that's really not the season that I'm in to host and to welcome people in? Like, I actually need to have that be like a little safe haven for just the people who live here. And we, just the Penley families, have gone through like different seasons where we've said, oh yeah, we have an empty room. Someone can live there. And right now we're in a season of actually, nope, this empty room is not going to be for someone who's going to be here long-term. It's going to be for short-term people. But that was a conscious choice.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, you're not talking about cleaning the bathroom, but if, for example, you would like to host people in your home, you should probably clean your bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. That's good. That's good. It strikes me, Christy, that a way of thinking through this would also be like you talked about, it's based on your values. And I think it's also like, it just strikes me that I've gone through seasons of my life where I've reevaluated my schedule and the way I spend my time, and what I, you know, what I invest in and that kind of thing. And usually what prompts that has been something stopped working. You know what I mean? Like something, I realized that there was some result happening in my life that I didn't like. Mm-hmm. And I had to like take some time to pause and say, well, what's producing this? And can I do anything about this? Right. And so I wonder if that's I wonder if that's a way of, for people to like for them to think about their own rule of life and say, if I already have one, like what kinds of conditions is it producing in my life and in my relationships, you know? And do I like these? Do I want these?
Yeah, you know, sometimes that's hard for me to evaluate myself, right? Because I think we all have, we all make confabulations. We all rationalize and justify destructive behaviors or habits, those kinds of things. Like sometimes it takes... Right. People who are close to us, our target people, I like to call them target people, who can actually speak into those things or see those things better than us, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I actually welcome that. When I redo my rule of life actually in August, because I am more on a school schedule, probably because I still have a bunch of kids at home. Mm-hmm. But then I look at it in January and March and whatever other months, but I do bring in Paul. And I bring in two of my close friends and say, hey, here's kind of what I'm thinking in this season that I'm in. What am I missing? Mm. And all three of those people have at different times questioned different kind of movements I wanted to go towards and then also encouraged like, oh yeah, that seems really good and really healthy. Yeah. But you got to be humble enough to like, let people in, which can be scary and uncomfortable at times.
Yeah. So that'd be hardcore. No. Yeah. Yeah. I'm so bringing in those other people, including your husband, Christy, it also makes me think about, you know, you talked about the early forms of these rules of life. They were made for communities of monks, right?
Yeah.
And today, most of us are not monks. Mm-mm. And most of us, have some sort of embedded family life, right? If we're married or we've got a partner or we've got kids, we've got people who live with us. And so rule of life, there's individual aspects to it, but it also strikes me that there would probably be some communal or family aspects to it. Things that we all agree that we're going to do together. Am I on the right track?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think there's a way to look at your own life and say, oh, what's the wheel of life? What is the best way to live for me? But it's not just about me. It's also about my family. And so you have to think, you not only have a rule of life, but your family also has one. And if you want to be intentional kind of with your family in that, then you got to ask some questions, have some conversations. Some of that might be like, are you as a family going to serve somewhere. We have like a home for single moms who have been in domestic violence. That's maybe like a mile from our house. And our family has committed to several times a year. That's kind of like our local project that we help with. And mm-hmm. so we go over there and we paint and we pull weeds and we babysit and we bring meals. And mm. that is like something that we as a family have said, oh, this is part of our wheel of life of loving other people. And we all are involved in that. And so, yeah, I think you can look at different areas like relational, spiritual, physical, financial, you know, missional, and say, what is my family in these areas? How are we mm-hmm. intentional as a core?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, when our kids were younger, like family dinner, having dinner together was like a really strong priority. And it wasn't because it was on our, you know, rule of life necessarily. I think it was just an assumption we made about, you know, like how we wanted to be a family and kind of raise our kids. And I remember feeling like I never really, I don't know, it wasn't like we had like profound moments of deep spiritual, you know, transcendence when we would eat together, at least, mm-hmm. you know, it was like, it didn't feel like it was doing a lot in the moment. But I remember some of my kids' friends, if they would join us for dinner, like some of them were just blown away that our family sat down and ate dinner together and did nothing else. They weren't watching TV. We weren't doing anything else. We were just talking and having dinner. And they were like blown away by that. And I can remember feeling so encouraged by that because I, as you know, I tend to put a lot of pressure on myself, to like do things really, really great, you know, mm-hmm. and be a very good person. And so I remember feeling like I'd put a lot of pressure on myself to like make this a very intentional time, you know, with the kids, and we were all going to connect on this deep level. And, you know, sometimes kids are just kids and they don't want to talk to you and they're just, anyway, grumpy. And I remember feeling discouraged about that, but I remember feeling so encouraged that my kids' friends like were blown away by that and wanted to come have dinner at our house just because we sat down for like, sometimes it was just 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And just at least ask the question, how was your day?
Yeah.
Can you tell me something that made you laugh or something that made you sad today? Well, and sharing that very basic thing was really meaningful. So
that's an example right there for our listeners. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're looking at the current cadence of how they're living,
yeah,
and they're like, oh yeah, we have family dinner, then having a rule of life is we want to continue that.
Yeah.
And so just committing, you know, for the next season, yeah, we're going to keep doing that because we think this is important.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It sounds like what you're saying, Christy, is to assess, a part of our wheel of life then is to assess like what gives me life, what fills me up, what brings joy and like shalom in my life. And then how do I organize my time on a daily or weekly or monthly basis to make those things a priority.
Yeah. Cause I think that, you know, there's books out there, you know, Your Best Yes and all that kind of stuff, but we waste so much time and effort on things that we actually don't think are valuable. And so to be intentional, to look and to evaluate and to notice, like, how am I spending my time? And then to choose to continue to do that and maybe to let other things, you know, go by the wayside. Mm. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So then what else? Like, is it all fun, good stuff, joy?
Yeah, you know.
Is it all like, because I enjoy watching sports.
Yeah.
And I enjoy chopping wood.
Yep.
And I enjoy people leaving me alone.
Yeah.
Not asking me for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy externally processing random thoughts with my bestie, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah. And I say yes to all of that.
Oh, I say yes to that too.
But is that all it is? I think that's the question that I hear you asking, Matt, is like, do I just pick stuff I like and then just demand that everybody else, you know, like, you know what I mean? I mean, it's an extreme way of asking that.
Ben, that's a great question, but we're out of time. And I think we've really enjoyed hearing from you, Christy, on this. And
Matt's like, I got permission to just do what I want. Let's end the podcast now. My wife is going to love this.
I think it's important to think through, like, what, who is the type of person that God created you to be? Mm-hmm. Who do you want to be? And what postures do you choose?
Yeah.
And let that kind of, I mean, we're all wired and created differently. And so the world needs fully you. And so really this is like, what is the rule of life or the wheel of life to be fully who you are?
Yeah.
Present to those around you and to what God is doing in and through you. Because that's the best life.
Mm-hmm. I know we got to get to maybe some things that are more difficult, but can I put a punctuation on that? I was unloading my car a couple days ago from a Costco run. I was really proud of myself. I kept the price down in a way that would not lead to an argument with my wife, which was great. Please clap. And I was unloading my car. And this thought like came to me unbidden, kind of out of the blue, that you know, we recently switched denominations a couple years ago, and I don't know why it came to mind, but the thought came to mind is I am in a place, ecclesial place, that wants me, and that thought like set up kind of shop in my body, and I felt all kinds of good feelings about being in a place that fit and where I wasn't having to hide or comport to be somebody that I wasn't, or I was in conflict because I didn't align, etc. And I just felt really good about it. And I realized in that moment that it had been a long time since I felt like I was in a place that wanted me. Mm-hmm. And how good that was I know that sounds rudimentary, maybe, right? Or like, shouldn't everybody be there? But I guess what I'm noticing or naming is that that was really important to me, and I didn't know how important it was until I found it.
Mm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The other thing that strikes me, just to put another punctuation mark at the end of that thought of yours, Christy, is that I think, so I remember when I first was introduced to the idea of a rule of life, it was like a set of disciplines that was going to, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was going to make me into an awesome Christian.
You talk about this in our book.
Yeah, we do. I can't remember which chapter, Having the Mind of Christ, if you'd like to pick up a copy. But yes, I tell this story in one of the chapters of our book where I had this super high bar for all these disciplines that I was going to do, fasting and prayer and worship and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, it was going to make me into a super Christian. And that, you know, it failed miserably. I don't think I even got one day into it without there being just some realization that this was completely unrealistic because I was not a monk. I was newly married at a young child. And there was absolutely no way that I was going to be able to fulfill this. And so I think that sometimes that's what people think about as a rule of life is like, it's got to be, I have to hate this for it to be good. Mm. You know what I mean? And then there's the other side of it where there's maybe like a cult of self-indulgence where we're like, the only things I'm going to invest in the coming year are things that, you know, bring me joy or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, there's some goodness in that, but I think there's also an extreme version of that where we just are like, you know what I enjoy? Scrolling Instagram gives me lovely dopamine hits in my brain. So I'm just going to do that for 4 hours a day. I love that, you know? So anyway, so I was just noticing that kind of pinging back and forth in my mind, those two areas. And I realized like when I'm thinking about how I want to live my life, I do have, there's different horizons of desire. So and to make that point, like oftentimes the immediate horizon of desire for me is I would like some sugar, right? Like my body's like, it has a craving, or I want to look at this. I want to look at social media. I want some sugar, right? That kind of thing. But I know enough about the long-term results of just giving into those desires that there's a longer horizon of desire. That's like, no, I don't like what that does to my brain. I don't like that, what that does to my body. And so I'm going to choose to forego this short-term desire, this need for sugar right now, and say, you know what? Maybe that's not actually what I need. And I could just have a glass of water and see how I feel after that, you know? So anyway, I think that's maybe an important aspect of this. Like when we're thinking about what we want, like there's a variety of ways of parsing that, right? Like I want sugar versus I want to live to 100, you know, and be healthy or something.
Yeah. Which is why I kind of said, hey, start with what do you value? Yeah. Because I think that helps kind of focus us a little bit more into the deep things. Because honestly, the things that you value, Ben, are different than what Matt values. Like there are some that are the same.
How do you know? I'm just kidding.
But, you know, Brené Brown does this thing. She has like a sheet. You can find it on the internet for free, but it's like all these values. And she challenges people to circle 10. Like, what are the 10 things that you value? Mm-hmm. And then she says, okay, now I want you to just pick the two. What are the two most, you know, things that you value the most in life? And you're like, I can't do that. Like faith and love. Of course, those are, but you, to really know yourself, and then to be able to say, okay, these are the things, and then how am I going to live into these big values that are different than other people? Mm-hmm. Mm.
And now a word from a sponsor. All right, let's get back into our conversation.
I wonder that because when you say, Christy, start with what you value, what occurs to me is I'm not even sure I could get clear on that without some help. So I wonder if we could, would you be able to track down that little worksheet?
Yeah.
And we can maybe I'll include it in the show notes.
Yeah, for sure. And it's hard. People get mad at me when I do like little sessions with them. They're like, there's no way I can get to, but there is. And that actually helps you be more intentional with your wheel of life because it helps you know yourself and what you want to say yes to. Kind of in that vein, if you're sitting there going, okay, well, what does it look like to write one? If you read books about it, a lot of times the books that I've read at least are only like spiritual things that people bring into this, which I don't agree with. So if you read books,
you
it might
like
be
spiritual
like
spiritual things.
You've heard it here first.
Come on.
Christy is anti-prayer.
I love Jesus. I don't like it when they're like, oh, your wheel of life has to be being a part of a community, reading your Bible, praying, spending your money on whatever. I think that that is part of who we are. It is the ecosystem of us, but there are other parts of us. And so I think, evaluate spiritually. How are you? How healthy are you? Where do you want to grow? What are the things you're being invited into? But then I think you also look at things like your body, your physical being, like, you know, what's going on? Is your cholesterol high? Do you need to like seriously, like those are the things I think it's good to kind of pay attention to. Your mind. Are you being challenged? Are you reading? Are you thinking about things? Are you full of anxiety? Like, is there like what's going on there? Relationships, your home I talked about, your work life. Like you talked about, Matt, like, oh, I'm in a place right now that's so good. I wonder, and so am I, like I would echo that. I wonder if I really truly evaluated that so many years ago, would that have come to the forefront for me to kind of think through? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Ben and I have told this story before on the podcast, but 10 years or so ago, we went through a really trying ministry situation together and it clarified our values. Because we experienced the lack of the value and it was awful. It hurt. It was painful. It stunk. And then we were able to say, well, why did this stink so bad? Like what was wrong here that violated something that we didn't know we needed or we didn't appreciate enough that we needed, you know? So I think actually negative situations or hurtful situations or relationships can bring to the surface what's important for us, just like positive situations can.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. The other two things I look at are my resources. And that doesn't just mean my money. It also means my house. I think most listeners know we've had someone live with us. We've been married 22 years. We've had someone live with us almost 21 of those 22 years. Right now we don't. And so just kind of saying, oh, what is God inviting me into for this season with the resources that we have? And then I have a thing that's just other, where I basically just sit and go, are there other things that maybe don't fit in those categories that would be healthy for me to engage in or to not engage in? So for example, there was a season where I just was like, gosh, before I go to bed, I'm scrolling, doom scrolling. And so I just was challenged to plug my phone in a different room, like that type of thing, which I'm like, that doesn't fit in another category. I don't know. But I think for that season, it needed to be the wheel of life to kind of help me. And that was going to help me like mentally. And I think physically to get more sleep and, you know, all the whatever. So I think there's a a place where maybe other is there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm struck by this. There's so much research coming out now just about how integrated our minds and our bodies really are. And I, you know, I think we can include our spirituality in that stuff as well, that it's not, we're not like these, I don't know, like we're not patched together and we have these like various aspects of our life that don't really, like my spiritual aspect doesn't really affect my body and my body doesn't really affect my mind. And like all of it's connected actually. Yeah. And so it can be a deeply spiritual thing to plug your phone in another room. It can be That's a deeply spiritual thing to go for a walk, or to get 8 hours of sleep or, you know, that kind of a thing, because it so strongly affects, you know, the rest of our life and our, the strength of our connections with other people and our connection with God, I think. And so, anyway,
that's Matt, I remember when, I remember Matt, when you told me sleep is a spiritual discipline and I was like, what? And it is revolutionized my life. 'Cause I'm like, it absolutely is. If I don't get to bed at a certain time, I'm grumpy. I'm like a bad mom. You think you've seen that movie? Like Christiane, no sleep. It's just. And so I agree. I echo and say yes and amen to what you're saying, Ben, because I think you're right.
Yeah. That's why I would say, like, you know, a lot of rules of life that include Bible studies and quiet times and memorization and, you know, all that. Those things are well-established spiritual disciplines that aren't going anywhere. And I think need to be reclaimed as we rebuild faith from a faith maybe that was wholly constituted through those things, right? So we have to bring we have to bring a little bit of creativity to explore how to relate to those things in a new way, a more healthy way. And like we spend a lot of time on this podcast trying to reinvigorate, re-enchant everyday life as spiritual.
Right.
And I think, you know, there's this caution or this fear that if you say everything is spiritual, then nothing will be. Right? I get that. Also, I mean, the training we do in our formation course, Christy, you know this, been trying to help Ben understand this, is that is just seeing God in our everyday
life. How does it work?
Seeing God in our everyday life. Seeing God in our everyday life.
Yeah.
And meeting God in places that we think are ordinary or not spiritual enough. Yeah. And re-enchanting our lives. And so when I hear you talk, Christy, I'm thinking about how do I create a framework that foments that helps me see things that don't feel spiritual as spiritual, gives me access to those things.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's, I mean, that's been a key point of integration for me, is realizing that I can't just learn to pay attention to God in everyday life by deciding to. Like, it doesn't actually work to just say, oh, God's in my everyday life. Okay, I didn't know. I'll just decide to pay attention to that. Right. We actually need some of those other disciplines that you're talking about, some of the more traditional disciplines. It's almost like going to the gym sometimes, right, where those are the things that actually train us to pay attention.
Yeah.
So that we can notice when there's a bush on fire.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, I didn't realize this, you know? But I've been trained, you know, I've gone through enough training that now I can realize it. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think, how some of those more like prayer, scripture reading, like some of those more traditional disciplines, how they relate to that is, right, they actually, so oftentimes with the training ground to even understand that, but you have to, like you were saying, Matt, like there has to be a new imagination for how to engage in those disciplines. They can't just be stuff you check off the list and then now God's going to be happy with me.
Right.
You know, you have to enter into it sort of knowing that it's training, so that you know how to engage in it and you know what to do with it.
Well, I know our time is coming to a close, but I just want to tell our listeners one little tip. Can I do that?
Yeah. It's New Year's Eve.
You know.
So people are thinking about this.
Right.
We could use all the tips we can get.
Because people are like, oh, how do I do that? How do I start that? And so here's what I'm just going to suggest. Think about, even if it's for a short time, what are the things you value, and maybe list them. We'll put that list in the show notes, but pick a couple and then just set a timer for like 1 minute and go through some different categories. Think about your spiritual life. Think about what do you want life to look like? What are the things you're already engaged in? And just write for 60 seconds, bullet point things. And then do that with your body, and then your mind, and your relationships, in your home, in your work, in your resources, in other, that's something that doesn't fit. And literally within 10 minutes, you at least have a framework of kind of then being able to invite other people in and say, hey, are there rhythms, patterns that you're like, man, this is really life-giving for you that I should continue in? And are there things that maybe are life-sucking that are not actually the best yes that I could say no to this next year? And that little 10-minute exercise could hopefully really be encouraging and also eye-opening for you as you go into 2025.
All right. I feel like I'll receive that admonishment and I'll take it under advice.
Yeah, pull it together, Matt. Mm.
All right.
In 2025.
Well, I will.
You know, I have this, speaking of 2025, many of you are listening to this probably in 2025. But speaking of 2025, I had this very disorienting thought that we are a quarter of the way through the 21st century now.
It's wild.
It is wild.
Like what? What? I just can't believe it.
That's crazy. Yeah. Anyway. It's nuts. We're living in the future.
Flying cars and jetpacks are just around the corner. I'm sure of it.
I had another thought. You mind if I share it?
Please.
Christy, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Cargo.
Cargo who?
No. Owls go who? Cars go beep, beep.
Oh, gosh. At least I knew you were going to tell me a joke.
Yeah. The knock, knock was the giveaway.
Yeah, help me out. Yeah. I did recently ride in a Waymo. Those driverless cars in Phoenix.
Oh, gosh.
You guys, it was amazing and creepy and funny and like a Disney ride all in one.
Yeah.
And if you follow me on social media, you can see the video of it because it's super cool.
Okay.
That's funny.
All right.
But speaking of social media, I actually just saw a video of a Waymo that got stuck in a roundabout. It's just driving around in circles, like it couldn't get out of the roundabout. And they were like, yeah, we need to do a software update.
Hopefully 2025, they'll figure
make
that
sure
out.
You, 2025. Make sure you get one right after the software update.
We can't get flying cars, but we do have some self-driving cars that work some of the time. So, you know.
All right. That's good. All right, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Gravity Podcast. If you're finding it helpful, please tell your friends about it. Word of mouth is the best advertising. Ratings and reviews online also help others find the podcast, and don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. To join discussions about the podcast and lots more, join us in the Gravity community. It's free to join, and you can connect there with other listeners to the podcast to talk about faith and spirituality and whatever else comes up. To join, go to gravitycommons.com/community. The Gravity Podcast is produced by Ben Sternke and Matt Tebbe. Aaron Sternke edits and mixes the podcast. You can check out his mixing, engineering, and production work at aaronsternke.com. Finally, we would love to hear from you. To record a question or comment for us, you can go to gravitycommons.com/message and click the Start Recording button. You can also email us at podcast@gravitycommons.com. Catch you next time.